The final play of the grand final. They need one more play, Melbourne, to defend. There's the siren. Edwards throws it to Fisher-Harris. They're 90 metres out. Now pass to Luai. Lee passes back to Crichton. Crichton the kick out. Kick out throws a pass to nobody. Cleary takes it. Basketballs it back now to Fisher-Harris. Now gets on to Martin in and away. Then on to Naden. Maddox pass is intercepted. Melbourne win the premiership. And the Melbourne Storm have done it again. The Kings of Rugby League.
Clive Churchill medal. From the Melbourne Storm, Ryan Pappenhausen.
It's been a bloody tough year. We didn't know where we were going. We were sitting on the tarmac at Bankstown Airport and we didn't have a clue where we were going. And we just stuck together. We overcome and adapted and we got here.
This big V on my jersey, on our jersey, this is who we're playing for. Everyone back home in Victoria, this one's for you, you beauty!
Well done, Melbourne Storm, who have carried on their very broad shoulders the expectations of a grateful state who's got a little ray of sunshine. Gee, they had a good weekend. So we've got the AFL. Mm. We've got the NRL. We've got the Vixens. It's just a little something.
Pubs will be open Wednesday.
Yeah, that's right. Narrowly Meadows came in. How good a win was that?
Look, when I hear that Pappenhausen audio again, I get goosebumps all over again because I'm a West Australian through and through, right? But I've lived in Melbourne for 9 years now and I know what that state has been through this year and it is extreme. So it made me so happy that so many people would be happy over the weekend with what happened on the sporting front. And then the restrictions have been lifted, hallelujah, as well. So that result, the Melbourne Storm, I mean, unbelievable effort. 5 months away from home.
Yep.
That's crazy stuff. So to perform the way they did, come out in the granny, be 22 up, nil up at halftime, and then, you know, get it done. Also, well done to the Panthers for actually
bringing it. They nearly made them down, almost didn't they? It was a bit tense. You can see Bellamy in the coach's box.
Lots of fruity.
Rearranging the furniture.
Bellamy was absolutely hilarious. It was like another entertainment sideshow just on the side there. But Panthers, 17 straight wins heading into this one. For this to be the one that they lose, absolutely heartbreaking. But as you say, it was down to 11 men at the end. They had that Hail Mary opportunity. Yeah. Mm. Couldn't quite pull it off. But what an unbelievable finish to just a dramatic season.
A completely different game when they have to keep the ball alive, when it's sudden death. You go, what am I watching now?
Correct. I almost want to see that game for a full 80 minutes.
The sudden death.
Just like, okay, go, frantic ball.
Any word on Cam Smith?
No, look, he just put on the ski goggles and celebrated the win and we'll wait and see. But I tell you what, there's a lot of people right now going, why are we asking him when he's retiring? Why aren't we asking him to play on longer, the way that he's still going at the moment? Unbelievable.
I think the issue is there's a couple of blokes in the wings at Melbourne Storm who may end up going elsewhere if they don't get a shot soon. So there is a bit at stake.
Exactly.
But yes, it's very hard to push out a living legend, an immortal.
Soon to be.
Yeah. Now, how good are the Storm? When you talk about teams and franchises in a country, are they almost, like, across all codes, the best? Oh, probably got to put Richmond in there too.
It's definitely in the conversation. Second premiership in 4 years, fourth premiership overall. Obviously, two of those were
denied
overall. They're an amazing club. And as I say, I cannot get past the fact they spent 5 months outside of their hometown. And like I say, that class from Cam Smith just saying, Victoria, this one's for you. Really recognising the moment and recognising what it means.
Can I say, you referenced premierships that were taken off us. One of my most memorable moments ever was 2010. After round eight, Richmond were 8 losses, no wins. Mm-hmm. And I went, bugger this. And I went across the road and bought a Melbourne Storm membership who were 8 wins, no losses, right?
Right.
Later that week, Melbourne Storm was stripped of all their points and a salary cap debacle.
What a year.
It was all your fault.
Now I've been for two teams who have no wins.
Yes.
And now you're laughing, aren't you, after this weekend?
You will never hear the end of it, Meadows. Mm. You want to stay where you are. The minute you come home, I am going to bang on about this forever. After, in our next break, you're going to say something nice about the Tigers, whether it kills you or not.
So there's been a big talking point about the commentary and Phil Gould, who obviously has very strong connections to Penrith.
Yes.
So let's have a listen to some of the commentary that's sort of brought the ire of people on social media.
I honestly feel like the Panthers are on top. The run of the play, I feel like they're doing better than the Melbourne Storm, but the Melbourne Storm have been able to keep the scoreboard ticking with the penalty try and the penalty goals, and now an intercept. the scoreboard's not as bad as what it obviously feels to them. They've got to go on the feel of the game. The feel of the game is they're well in it. The scoreboard's just not friendly. They are absolutely stripping this Melbourne Storm defence on both sides. Look at the Melbourne Storm players. They're down. They're gassed.
There's a lot of that going on.
He coached the Panthers in their first premiership in 91. Yeah. Was ahead of football and very recently. You could argue that maybe, you know, telling both sides of the story, keeping the, you know, the game alive when it was quite one-sided, as we're often told as commentators to do. But there was one moment for me where I went, oh, they're not even trying here. Pick up the moment, you think, where Gussie Gould takes over in this commentary.
Melbourne take first points in the second half. Ryan Pappenhausen.
Well, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. While the Panthers had their heads down over the error, Pappenhausen with a little bit of a shimmy and a whoosh just splits them. This was heads down stuff from the Panthers. It might have got the better of them.
Get up, Gus. Get up.
Yeah, well, that's... desperate.
The words were there, but the sentiment really wasn't behind it.
Yeah, brilliant.
He also tweeted straight away. It was all on Panthers as well. But he's defended himself. He said, go back and have another listen. You know, I was just telling the truth. So, look, his passion was there for all to hear as well.
All right, hang about, Nez. We'll come back and talk Tigers.
All right.
Are they the greatest team ever?
Okay. Nerilee Meadows is with us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Seconds remaining in the 2020 Grand Final. And it will be the Tigers. Their third premiership in 4 years. One of the great teams. Dustin Martin celebrates. Trent Cotchin becomes the only Tiger captain of 3 premierships, and they deserve all their success at the Gabba on this historic night, the first ever night grand final.
And the winner of the Norm Smith medal, Dustin Martin.
First of all, I'd just like to thank Geelong for an awesome game, and well done to Gaz on an unbelievable career. Last but not least, the Richmond Footy Cup. Let's go!
Okay, so just me paint the picture for you. 4 prelims, 3 grand finals, 3 flags, 3 Norm Smith medals. Nerilee, where do they stand? Is this, are they finally going to get respect from people like you who are professionals and are supposed to be impartial but still don't quite rate the Tigers? Go.
They were brilliant.
Yes! Yes! Defence rests, Your Honour.
Unbelievable effort from the Tigers this year. Once again, you won't hear me saying a negative thing about a Melbourne team. Richmond, absolutely unbelievable performance. I mean, they were down and out in that grand final, but found that spirit once again to come back. Dustin Martin is a freak of nature. I mean, absolutely unbelievable what he does on the biggest stage. Lots of people now saying he is absolutely the September / October specialist. And, you know, hard to be beaten on that front. Unbelievable. 3 Norm Smith medals, and thankfully Lee Matthews didn't accidentally vote for, you know, Trent Cotchin instead of Dustin Martin. Geez. But unbelievable from Martin to do what he did and Richmond to do what they did. 3 flags in 4 years. Sad for Gary Ablett to go out that way, but he also had his own.
At least he went out on his home ground as a Gold Coast champion, and that's the main thing.
I did think of you, Mickey, and I was happy for you. Put it that way.
Well, not as happy as I was. My house was in a siege situation for a couple of days. It's still a crime scene. There's still police tape up there. So imagine what you and one bubble buddy can do when you really get on one. Brilliant Tigers. Geelong, not their day. It was a contrast of game styles. I just think we've got that measure with them. I mean, they're a great side, but their style is really, you know, possession and a high efficiency and kicking it around and out. We're just blitzkrieg, you know. So as soon as the ball hits the deck, I think our best game plan beats their best game plan. Did you see in Geelong? They burnt down Vlosten's. He's got an investment property, townhouse. They burnt it down. That's sore. I mean, you know, I'm a passionate fan, but geez, Louise.
He had a bad day.
Geelong.
Is that really what happened?
I swear to God. I swear to God, they've attacked his property. They haven't taken it well.
No.
They haven't taken it well, but there you go. What about the night grand final? Where does we stand with that? Have they made a case? Is this one of those ones that now it's happened, we're never going to get it back to the afternoon?
Well, I mean, the ratings were such a success for, you know, broadcasters, but at the same time there was a lot of Melburnians stuck at home as well, which would have helped, you would think. But look, I thought the entertainment was brilliant at halftime. I love the fact that they embraced Aussie acts. I do love the traditional afternoon grand final, you know, of the AFL. But what do you think? Are you in favour?
I think it's inevitable. And I don't say that lightly. I know it has been a tradition and it's an afternoon. The biggest problem for me is staying sober till 7 o'clock. I mean, it's you know what I mean? You go, yeah,
it's a long
Lord,
day, isn't it?
I haven't paced myself very well here. I do think it's inevitable, and I don't think it's that big a deal. You still get to huddle around the TV. You still get to make a week of it. Sometimes these things just happen. To me, it doesn't matter. You know, as they say, anywhere, anytime. And I reckon it's a great motto in the modern age to go, we'll just play wherever we have to and win. Yep. Now, wrapping up, you love the Tigers. You think they could be the best team of all time. Is that fair? And now, listen, you and your ilk, respect. You write something nice, okay? And you say something nice. And you how about a big we were wrong, everyone? Who's trying to say we didn't deserve our place in the pantheon of greats. But now, yes, you're the first to put your hand up and say, yep, they are. They're in. Great. Thank you.
It is very nice that you now understand perhaps what the travelling teams go through all the time.
Oh, my God.
Curse them back. But, you know.
You're like the new Phil Gould. You really can't help yourself, can you? Hey, listen, we went to Adelaide. Right, we went to. See, you'll never be able to use this again, ever. Oh, it's always going to be a revenge. We went to Adelaide, beat the minor premiers in front of their home crowd of 30 grand, kicking into like a 6-goal breeze, and took the chockies. Then we got on a plane, went back to Brisbane, where these
guys. Trent Cotchin would know all about a 6-goal breeze at Port Adelaide, wouldn't he?
Well, not anymore. I think you're going to have to retire that gear as well, because I think we've taken that off. Is there anything we haven't done this year? Yes, Tigers. Okay, I'll stop you there. They are the big ones out of the way, but we're going to come back to you.
You're listening to Kennedy Malloy, Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy, and with our Monday sports wrap, it's Neroli Meadows.
What do you want to talk about now? What do you want to do?
UFC, big surprise.
Oh, Khabib, no.
He's decided to retire. He's the UFC undisputed lightweight champion, won his last fight, but straight afterwards, very emotional, dropped his gloves and said, this will be my last fight. I can't fight again without my father. So really emotional stuff. He said he promised his mother before the fight, this would be it. Basically, his father died earlier this year from complications with COVID. So he finishes 13-0 in UFC, 29-0 overall. Even Conor McGregor, who's a big rival of his, obviously sent his thoughts. So it was actually pretty emotional, and I think a lot of fans were...
Came out of nowhere. No one saw that coming. I mean, he could be, he's undefeated, could be the greatest of all time, at least in his division. And I'll never forget the Conor McGregor fight and the build-up to it, which is the most insane pre-show I've ever seen, when Conor McGregor were chucking bins in a downstairs underground car park at a bus carrying Khabib. Khabib wins. Jumps the net and starts punching on with the first 6 rows, has all his connections jump into the ring and start beating up Conor McGregor and everyone else. They both get banned. It's an absolute disaster. And I go, wow. Well, that escalated quickly.
And look, a lot of people, you know, retire from UFC because they want more money and those sort of things. This doesn't feel like that. And Dana White even said, look, I'm pretty sure this is it. I'm taking him at face value for this. So really emotional stuff.
Well, he's not leaving to fight Manny Pacquiao, is he?
Lewis Hamilton said he was in dreamland because he's won his 92nd F1 title. Formula One's record of all time. So unbelievable. Takes over from Schumacher. 7-time world champion. Daniel Ricciardo finished 9th in that one for the first time since the Spanish Grand Prix. He was beaten by his Renault teammate as well.
Can I be devil's advocate here? Well, can I just say, I think it's the least impressive of all the sporting records is the Formula One. Because how do you compare the best driver when they've got the best cars? How do you compare it when the best driver in the same team is given? How do you do it when they say you don't win today? Those two drivers had the greatest cars at their disposal. One's a Ferrari, one's a Honda. You go, well, of course they win. I reckon I could win in that thing. How do you compare him and go, yep, that's it, you are up now?
I want to say something about fitting in the car, but I won't.
You know what? You've been yellow carded already today, Neroli. No, did you know this is true? I got McLaren said they had a 2-seater McLaren, right? And they said, we would like you to come in. It will drive you around the track.
I'll do a lap.
I go, oh, yeah. They said, good. I said, oh, you've got to get down to under 90 kilograms.
Right.
I said, yeah, I've got a mate who'll do it.
That was it.
But I actually tried, and I came in at about 94 kilograms.
So close.
And so I had to give it to my mate, Matthew Everett, who was sitting in there feeding me souvlaki for
about a month. Yeah, he's fattening you up.
But anyway, but don't you agree? How they're a bit more amorphous. Mm. They're a bit more opaque, the records in Formula One. Discuss.
Yeah, for sure. As far as, you know, athlete blaming his tools kind of thing, it actually is very relevant in motorsport racing and Formula One in particular. So, absolutely, I do agree with you, but I still am not going to criticise somebody who's willing to get in a car, drive that fast over and over and over again and actually win 92 times.
I said it before and I'll say it again. Michael Schumacher, a great driver. Mm. I'd even have him today ahead of Ralph.
Narrowly.
Now, what about, did you ever see Kabir wrestle the bear?
Cox Plate. Did you just want to cover Cox Plate quickly?
Yeah, let's do Cox Plate.
So Dragonet wins, ridden by Glenn Boss, jockey Glenn Boss, fourth Cox Plate for him. And he only ended up on it because Hugh Bowman had a suspension. So, you know, a little bit of luck there, but also a lot of class. So Sir Dragonet now is the favourite for the Melbourne Cup, depending on which odds you look at. Some have Tiger Moss. So huge.
I have a mate who has a 10% share, or a small share in that horse.
Wow.
He's had a big day. He's won on it, got the prize money. He's also doubled it into Richmond. And because the horse is a colt, it's now been, I think, valued at $10 million.
Oh, so that's a good day.
He's had a reasonable day. have we got the last 150 there?
Yeah, take a listen.
At the 150, it's Armoury. Sir Dragonet coming at Armoury. Armoury and Sir Dragonet. Sir Dragonet takes the lead, coming clear and joins a century of legends. Sir Dragonet for Bossy. Won the Cox Plate from Armoury. Russian Camelot. Fourth a photo.
Bit of a leery ride, I thought, from Boss at the end there. I thought he might have gone a bit early. And also, yes, this is the greatest race in Australia. It's a wait for age. Only champions win it. So that's huge. So it is going to go ahead for Melbourne Cup?
Yeah, at the moment, favourite. So Tiger Moss up there as well. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But, yeah, certainly Sir Dragonet shortened the odds significantly.
Again, I'm saying on Melbourne Cup Day, just one race for the Shetlands. That's all I want. Would it kill him? Pelé, what's your Pelé news?
Well, he's celebrating his 80th birthday with a song. And I reckon you might like the lyrics to this song, Mickey, because... You can trust the old man, tell me what you need. The man has the power.
That's like my wedding vows.
I thought you might like it.
Do you want to take a listen?
Let's have a listen.
Pelé.
Ah, oh, that's gold.
It's a toe tapper.
I'll be playing that in the boudoir. I remember going to the World Cup in Brazil and we were in Rio, and it was one of the saddest byproducts. This is when corporates get out of control.
Right.
He was with Nike and the World Cup was sponsored by Adidas.
Gotcha.
And even though he was there, he was not a presence. You couldn't see a photo of him. You couldn't see a picture of him. They played none of his clips inside the arenas. And you're going... How does a corporation just get to wipe a legend off the face of the planet when it comes to a World Cup?
Yeah.
Anyway, I've said it. Okay, well, thanks, Nez. Time to go. Sing along.
Tiger Land.
There you go. All feel good on me.
Tiger Land.
All right.
In any weather, you'll see us there.
Hey.